it is good to see all of you today, and I hope you had a wonderful season of Thanksgiving. And we are continuing our series, Thankful in All Seasons, this morning. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 21. And we're really looking at season of transition this morning. I believe that many of us in the room are going through seasons of transition personally or in the lives of our family. But then certainly we are going through a season of transition as a fellowship, as a church body. And so I thought this morning one way that we could be thankful in all seasons is how can we learn to pray during seasons of transition, both personally and corporately, or collectively as a church body. And so as we get ready to dive into Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to start with this sort of story that will help set up where we're going today. When I was in seminary, we had a Bible study teacher who is probably a year after being in his class that he told the story of how he had amnesia. And how he had been on a ski slope with some friends and with his wife. And he had one of those horrible moments where his skis got a little out of control, slammed into a tree on the slope. And when they brought him, off the mountain, he had complete and utter amnesia. When they finally, after several hours, got his wife to come into the room, he did not know her at all. And as he's telling the story to us, he says, I was just happy that she was a good-looking lady. When they introduced us, hey, this is your wife. And it was fascinating because I'd never met anyone who had sustained amnesia. And so this was a period of years that he could not remember anything from before that moment. On the slopes, he would go to his parents' house and they would get out the picture album trying to help him remember. And it did not jog anything. I mean, he's seeing himself. He says, I get that that's me and okay, that's my cousin or that's an aunt, but I don't know them. But it was odd because there were some things that he had no explanation of how he was able to remember. For instance, when they got home, he was able to get in his car and go to work. And he just sort of knew that's the route he was supposed to go. And there were certain muscle memory functions that he could not explain why he knew how to do it. He just knew how to do it. That is fascinating to me what that would be like. On one hand, that's devastating. I mean, to lose all of those memories and have to rebuild it. But if you're trying to find silver lining, you get the opportunity to watch your favorite movie for the first time again. You get the opportunity to rediscover some of your favorite bands for the first time again. He was able to rediscover his love for his wife all over again, as if for the first time. In a sense, there was the past before the injury, but then everything was new past the injury. And as we come to Isaiah chapter 43, as we think about what does it look like to pray through a season of transition, both personally and collectively, let's see what Isaiah has written on behalf of the Lord. And beginning in verse 16, it says this, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior, yet they lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beast will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. That's a tough word. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. You'll see, and as we walk through the LifePoint outline, there's a season of remembering, there's a season of forgetting, and there's a season of trusting. Just like this Bible study teacher back in seminary who had things that he tried to remember, but yet there were things that he forgot, which allowed him to encounter things new, fresh. That's what we are asking from the Lord in this season of transition, both personally and collectively. So as just a little bit of background to this passage, what's happening when this comes forward? This is a word to God's people, Israel. They, because of their rebellion and sin, they have been exiled. They have been conquered and transported out of the promised land of Israel at this point. Now, they have been in exile for a period of time, and they still have a period of time to go. They are in sort of this uncertain transition, and the Lord comes through Isaiah to let them know, hey, look, remember who I am. I'm looking to do something new. And that's what I want to unpack for us this morning. What does that look like? For the people of Israel, what it looked like is trusting God in the middle of transition, in the middle of exile, in the middle of occupation, to trust Him to make a way forward. And for many of us, as we walk through personal transition and as we walk together collectively, there's a couple of things that we can do to pray to prepare us for this season of transition. Number one in your LifePoint outline would be this: remember. It's important to remember. In this passage, it begins with the Lord reminding them He is the God who saved them out of Egypt. You see the imagery there. Maybe you didn't pick it up the first time through, but knowing that He's recalling the deliverance out of the bondage of Egypt, you can hear it. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. This is imagery of when the people of Israel had walked out of Egypt and Pharaoh had a change of heart, a change of mind, and sent the chariots, his warriors, after them, and they came up to the sea. And it looked like there was no way forward, and yet God says, I'm the God that split that sea, and you walked across on dry ground. And what happened to your enemies when they went into the dry ground? All of your enemies lay down. It's a nice way of saying they died. And they didn't get up. I extinguished them like a wick, like blowing out a candle. He says, that's who I am. That's who I've been to you, Israel. And for us, as we walk through personal seasons of transition and collectively, it's important that we remember who God is and how He has claimed victory in our past. For many of us, hopefully many of us in this room, the primary thing that we can remember is that Jesus saved us. That is the primary thing that we look back and we remember, that Jesus died for our sin. I mean, really think about that for a second. It's good to rehearse and remember that story in your life. For me, I was in ninth grade sitting in a service. The backup preacher was called out of the bullpen to preach a sermon on the wheat and the tares. And I remember him saying, wheat and tares look very similar, but at the harvest, one bears grain and one does not. And the one that does not, the weeds, the tare, gets taken up, thrown into the furnace, but the grain is brought into the storehouse. And he said, I remember the pastor named Brother Phil said, Some of you may look like wheat, talk like wheat, and know all the answers like wheat, but you have never repented of sin and trusted Jesus for salvation. And at the day of his second coming, you will be revealed to not be bearing fruit or grain, but to be a weed, a tear. And it was as if for me, every Sunday school lesson I'd ever been taught, every truth my parents poured into me from Scripture hit me at the same time. It's the Holy Spirit convicting me. And I had to look to a buddy I was sitting right beside and say, I must go down and receive Christ. And as I made my way out, I remember another friend grabbed me and he said, are you going down? And I said, yeah. And he said, can I go down with you? So the first person I ever led to Christ was on the way to get saved myself. But the reality is this, I was convicted of sin, and on that day in the late 90s, Jesus saved me, a sinner, an enemy, and yet now he calls me a son of the King. That's worthy to remember. And if Jesus can save me then, it should give me comfort that he has my future in his hands as well. You'll notice that in the LifePoint outline, the truth here. In seasons of transition, we can draw great comfort in remembering God's faithfulness in our past. When things seem uncertain, when the people of Israel were in captivity and they did not know what was ahead of them, they couldn't see beyond their captors, God says, remember, I'm the God who delivered you out of Egypt. I'm the one that made a way in the sea. As a collective group, as a church, it's important for us to remember how God has been faithful to us here in our past so that we can have comfort that he has our future in his hands. We've been celebrating the fact that God has given us for the last 50 years a pastor. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us a pastor who was faithful to preach God's word, to make the global commission of Christ a priority, and who shepherded people's hearts. That's worthy of rehearsing and going, God, if you were faithful then, we trust you with our future. We've got some big financial opportunities with the children's building. We're going to be talking about that in January, but we need to understand that God has been faithful on this hill in the past to have built the new buildings that are up on the hill in our current children's building to then be paid off, God providing that, for building this worship center and it going over what we expected it to be at the time, and yet God providing and paying it off. The admin building up on the hill where our offices are currently met, God had a story of taking care of that and a church member stepping forward and giving a no-interest loan to pay the rest of the debt in the church. But that was God providing through his people. If he has done that in the past, it's a reminder that he can be trusted with our future. We could probably take, and it'd be probably better than the rest of the sermon, we could probably go around this room and just start saying, how, like giving people opportunity to just share from pew after pew how God has been faithful through the ministry of Harmony Hill to see families come together to worship Christ together. Some of you met your spouse through small groups here on the hill. Some of you have been through some very difficult times with health or finance, and the church rallied, and God was the God of deliverance and brought you through. It's important that we remember. See, it's sometimes when we only look forward, it can be so scary and daunting because all we can see is the captor in front of us, and yet God says, I'm the God of your salvation, and I can be trusted with your future. But secondly, not only should we remember, but we remember forget. Number two, we are to forget. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but this is what we see in the text. In verse 18, after reminding them of who he was and how he delivered, he said, remember. Then he says, forget. Verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing, for now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? This is what is exciting to me. Not only do we remember who God is, but he says, that is who I am, but I want you to act as if you can forget that, that you have amnesia, so that you can experience my victory anew, in a new season, on the other side of transition. And I love how he says this. He says, I am doing something new. Can't you perceive it? It's like, can't you see it? Like, ladies and gentlemen, like, I don't know about you, but I believe that God is poising and positioning this body to do something new. I'm so thankful for Mr. Pedrotti down here who gives plenty of amens. That felt like a time that would have been really awesome for everybody by, yes, we see it too. Like, well, but that maybe elevates the point here is this. With every new movement, God is looking for early adopters. We see this specifically now with technology. There's this term called early adopters. And you see people who are quick to jump on the bandwagon of something new while the majority will wait and see. When the iPhone first came out, it seems ludicrous now because everybody in this room probably has some sort of smartphone device in their pocket, purse, or whatever. But back when they first came out, the price tag was $600, and people said, that'll never last. That's ridiculous. My little flip phone, boom, boom. This is all I need. And yet, there were some people that were early adopters. And as they began to use it and sync things up and all the things that it was doing at the time, which now seems antiquated, people with the little flip phone or the black people, I mean, the last adopters were the BlackBerry people. They're like, that's a fad. I love my full keyboard here. Right? Like, I mean, early adopters paved the way for something new. I have to believe this has been the trend forever in technology. The first time, when Mr. Ford made a personal vehicle with a motor, people riding in their cart going, never gonna happen. Never gonna happen. And now we've got 1 to 2 to 3, depending on your life stage, in our garage, carport, or driveway. You think about like personal computers. They were like the size of this stage. And people thought, no, they'll never be. We're fine. The typewriter, baby. Now you can go to a museum to see that, right? But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, when something new is happening, it's about the early adopters. And what I'm asking, what I believe God is saying to us, he is wanting to do something new. And who will be the early adopters to get on board for the rest of us to see that God is up to something? The truth in your outline is this: each new season gives an opportunity to trust God anew. What that means is this: every generation, every group of people has the opportunity to see God work in their generation. Do you realize when Isaiah is making this proclamation, he says, remember, I'm the God of Egypt that delivered you out of Egypt. None of the people he's talking to were alive when that happened. He says, but I want to do something new for this group of people who are now in captivity. We have the opportunity to trust God for a new season on the other side of transition collectively, but also personally. There are some challenges in this room that you're facing. There's all sorts of transition that is happening in the lives of people, from new children being born into households, that's a transition, to empty nester, that's a transition, to the loss of some family members that created a new dynamic at Thanksgiving that was hard, and it's a transition, to couples coming together in marriage, to fill in the to loss of a job and a new career has to be started, to moving to a new town. We have a bunch of people coming from all over the Northwest and the West Coast moving here. And they're in a season of transition to figure out what does it look like to live here. We've got people in seasons of transition that they have just come to Christ and they're trying to figure out what does it mean to turn from the old self and to live in the new self. We've got people that are coming from hurts that are here now for healing. The reality is we got to remember who He is, but we have to forget so that we can see and trust Him anew. The last thing is this: remember, forget, trust. Trust. Seeing with the eyes of faith. You'll see here in, I got so excited the paper turned over. In verse 19b, if you will, he says, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's saying, I'm going to do something new. If you recall, when they were being delivered from Egypt, he made dry land in the sea, right? He says, I'm going to do something new. And to just give them some sort of context, he says, this time I may choose to make a river in the desert, like the opposite of what happened last time. I may make a road in the wilderness. I'm going to do something new. I'm still going to be the same God who delivers, but just understand it may be new. You've got to trust me. The other thing that it says is this: when they were at the sea, they just had to trust that God was going to deliver them. Many of them began to grumble and say, why did He deliver us out of Egypt just for us to die here at the Red Sea? Some of us come up to the desert and we go, why did God bring us through this to this point? All I see is desert. And He says, just trust me, I can make a river in the desert. Some of us feel like I'm in a wilderness. I don't know what to think is coming next. He says, just trust me, I can make a road in the wilderness. If we're honest, there's some questions that we may have personally, but maybe even collectively. Like I'm thankful that the church has responded in great support of me as the new lead pastor. But it would be fair for there to be in the back of your mind, what's our way forward? What does it look like? We've known for some of you, your entire life in church has been under leadership from Pastor John and Miss Catherine. And so there's a little apprehension. What does it look like for a new person to lead? We're on board, but there's, and God says, when you come up to that moment, just trust me. I can make a river in the desert. I can make a road in the wilderness. For some of you in this room, there's question marks about what about student ministry or what about children's ministry? We've got some transition happening there as well. I am just trusting that the God who saved us has our future in His hand and that He can make a river in the desert and a road in the wilderness. But we must pray and trust Him to do it. Look at the truth in your outline. I love this. The same God who delivered in the past wants to do something new in our future. The same God who delivered in the past wants to do something new, but we must trust Him. And then that next point, that insight comes right after that. It says this: sometimes the biggest barrier to God's new work is our being stuck in the past. This is a hard truth for all of us, both personally and collectively. What God is saying is don't expect that I'm going to do things exactly the way that I did in the past. I may not part a Red Sea. You need to expect something different. And that's got to be okay. That's hard. That's why it's harder. That's why early adopters are the smaller portion until a momentum waves over people. That's just the reality. I don't want to give up my BlackBerry. I know how it works I can go to a smart device after 5 years of holding on. I'm the last one with the flip phone, right? Like, there's that reality. And so God is saying, don't expect it to look exactly the same. I split the Red Sea, but I may make a river in a desert. We have to be willing, and this is hard, to say, God, we trust you, even if it looks different and it's out of our comfort zone. Here's what we can know for sure. This is why we have to remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Our message never changes. But the methods in which we use to disciple and reach people for Christ has to. The way that God delivered people out of bondage in the Old Testament looked different. I'm just asking that we begin praying both personally and collectively. God, help us to remember your great victory so that we have comfort for our future. And God, help us to almost forget, to have selective amnesia, that though we remember as we face forward, we go, God, we trust you with however you wish to lead us. That's hard, but that's where we're at. And I want you to hear this. The same God who's paid off every building on this campus is the same God that we walk and serve in the future. The same God that saved people and kept these baptismal waters stirred for the last 50 years is the same God in our future. The same God who has restored families in this church is the same God that we're trusting with our families moving forward. The same God that put a heart for missions and we've been sending people out and he's been just sending the gospel forward is the same God that we want to take around the world with the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. The same God that we've worshiped is the same God we'll be worshiping moving forward. That should bring us great comfort, but we also have to say, God, I remember, forget, trust you. And so as we close, here's sort of how I want to close this service. I want to give you just an opportunity for a personal next step. Right there in your outline. I'm asking that this week that you would ask the Lord to give you clarity in your personal season of transition as you remember, forget, and trust. That you would just walk through that exercise with your own season of transition personally or as a family. Where has God given victories in our past that we need to remember? What are the things that we need to sort of forget and go, okay, God, we're open to trust you. And we're asking you to make a river in a desert and a road in the wilderness. But then collectively, as a church family, I would ask that you would join by praying and praising God for a fresh work in our church as we move forward. Pastor John and I have been working on a podcast that will be coming out in the next few weeks. And it's really just me getting the opportunity to ask him to remember and share some of these stories of God's faithfulness in the past. And to be honest, we've probably made 4 or 5 of these things at this point, and we've got a couple more that we're going to make, and you'll be able to watch it on YouTube or download it for your run on the treadmill or washing the dishes. That's what I do. But that's a little shameless plug because I want you to listen to those. But two, here is what it did for me. We sat actually probably right here in the middle of this aisle and we made these things. And for little over two hours, I just heard Pastor John sharing story after story after story of God's faithfulness. And there were times, in fact, many times he would say this, that he said, we sort of charted in a direction, not really knowing if that was the right thing, but then God just blessed it. And as I sat there and listened and listened, here is what I feel like God was doing in me. To be honest, I thought, God, I want to be part of the story that you're doing here on the hill. I want to see what you've done in the past. It won't be the same, but I want to see those stories happening on this hill for the name of Christ and for his kingdom's sake. Oh, God, would you please allow us to make our own story of your glory known and how you have taken care of your people. God, what will it look like in 10 years? What are the stories we're going to be able to tell of your faithfulness to this people? God, will you join us in praying for those moments where we go, only God could have done what we're seeing right now. We've got to remember, but we've got to forget so that we can trust when he needs to make a river in the desert and a road in the wilderness. We've got no announcement video or anything like that, so this is what I'd really like to do to close. I'd like for us to spend the next just few moments praying, asking God, celebrating God, begging him to allow his presence to be here, begging and asking him to do a work that only he can do. And so there's not going to be any music, because sometimes we'll start singing before we need to. I'm going to ask you for the next 1 minute. For some of you, you're going to be like, that was 10. But for 1 minute, I'm going to ask you to just pray for a season of transition, and then I'll close us in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Join me in prayer. Father, we come before you so thankful for how you have saved us. We went from enemies to sons and daughters. We went from death to life. We went from darkness to marvelous light because of your love for us and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is what we remember. Lord, we're so thankful for the many works that you have done on this hill, from a small congregation known in the community as having anything but harmony on that hill, to a church that is ministering to the community, to a church that has a good name in the community, to a church that is impacting families, to a church that has the privilege of sending families across the globe for your namesake. Lord, we thank you for how you've taken care of us, the provision on this hill. We haven't even mentioned how the property we're sitting in here worshiping is only an act of your provision for this hill. But God, as we look forward, oh God, we want to see something new. I pray we can perceive it. I pray that we see it. I pray that we'll be early adopters. I pray that we will forget the methods of the past and trust you to make rivers in deserts moving forward. Give us wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give our leaders wisdom as we navigate this transition. And God, we look forward to proclaiming your name over and over as you declare victory in the life of our people here on this hill. Be with us as we go out today. May we be a people of prayer, asking for this new work of your Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here.